Intervju Radia Študent.
Pozdravljene poslušalke in dragi poslušalci, v današnjem Ereš intervjuju gostim zasedbo Cephalic Carnage. To je zasedba, ki prihaja iz Amerike oziroma iz mesta Denver. So pa že četrtič v Sloveniji. Nocoj nastopajo v Gali Hali. Pred kratkim so izdali že svojo šesto ploščo z naslovom Misled by Certainty, o kateri in še vsem ostalih zadevah pa bosta povedala kaj več vokalist Lenzik in basist Nick. Za začetek pa poslušajmo komad Pure Horses in Cephalic Carnage. Hello Lenzing, hello Nick.
What's up?
Welcome on radio.
What's going
student?
On?
It's okay, Sunday.
Sunday.
Exactly 1 month ago, your sixth studio album called Misled by Certainty was released, and this was one of the three shortest songs on it, Pure Horses. What's this means, Pure Horses? What's talking about?
It's about sometimes you just have to party harder than you normally would, and when it's not, it's pure horses. I mean, when you achieve that level of partiness, it's pure horses. It's magical.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Please introduce your band in 2010.
Hi, my name is Brian. I play guitar.
I'm Steve. I'm the guitar player.
This is John. I play drums.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Len. I'm the singer.
I'm Nick. I play bass.
I'm Jay. I'm the tour manager.
Okay.
You took your job!
You actually have a new member in band, guitarist Brian. Last year, when you were in Ljubljana, there was still Zach with you, excuse me.
Yep.
What, this change came quickly?
Actually, right. It's still Zach. He got a Valmorphinization.
Mm-hmm.
So
split personality.
Yeah, right.
Right after that tour, he left the band, and we just moved on, and we're here again. So hopefully, all the Zach fans will still come and check us out tonight because we still play heavy and rock.
Well, Zach has new band right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's called Relapse, I think.
Okay. What is Brian, full-time member, or he's just a session guitarist?
He's pretty much a full-time guy. He's been our merch dude for us for a while, and then that morphed into guitar playing. So merch dudes, learn the tunes, man. You might be stepping in one night. You know, you never know, and that's just how it was when Zach left. I think he was gonna call Brian anyway to try and say, hey, these guys need a guitar player. So he stepped in, and we kind of did a few tours already with him before the album came out and stuff. So we've been busy on that front. We just, it was not something we wanted to really sit and promote, like one guy leaves and brings so much attention to it, you know what I mean? It's not, it just,
well,
it draws more negative than it does the positive.
And plus, it's like, it was cool when I joined the band and stuff, they kind of did a similar thing where you don't really make it a big deal or talk about, Josh leaving or anything, and you focus more on the new person, you know what I mean? And like, because that's what the reality is, that's what, where now is, where the moment is, you know what I mean? So like with Brian, like he's like retarded sick. He's really, really good. He's probably the best musician out of all of us, I'd say. Like, he's the most trained. He has a degree in guitar performance.
I read on the internet he's a session guitarist also.
Yeah, I mean, he's really, really phenomenal.
Did he also cooperate when you were preparing the material for the new record?
Yeah. He helped write, I think he brought about 2.5 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was there. He was completely involved in the writing process, and it was awesome. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. The group of us, the five of us that wrote this record, like, really had very, very minimal problems at all. Like, everybody working together.
It was the easiest record for us to write because we all wrote it as five people, you know. Mm-hmm. Zach wrote a lot of our music before, and, you know, once you do that, you got a vision of how you want things to be, and, you know, sometimes you butt heads or whatever, and this time we didn't have that problem, so for us, we feel like we recorded a fun record, and nothing against Zach, because he's a great guy and mm-hmm. a creative person, but for what we're doing now, when you're not having fun doing something, then it's, you know, not worth doing, and that's, you know, probably the same with him. You know, he wasn't mm-hmm. having fun being in our band, and we probably wouldn't have had fun recording his album, so at the end of the day, we, as a team, wrote a record, so.
You are touring a lot. I was wondering, when do you have a time to write material on the bus?
We're getting more involved in that process where you record on the road and be inspired by the moment, you know, because sometimes in Denver, we have our own studio. We could go, you know, lay down whatever when we want, however. Mm-hmm. But when you're on the road, you lose that, and that's when you are the most inspired. Like, say you're in Slovenia, you're in the most beautiful mountains around some of the most amazing people, mm-hmm. and you inspired. Like tonight, we're gonna go record some stuff and hopefully get some cool Slovenian women to say some things on our album for us to enhance it.
Look there! Wow. I don't know if she's Slovenian, but okay. Am I right that you're now actually only original member in Cephalic Carnage?
Yeah.
Member from day one.
Day one, but these guys all feel like original members too. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, I'm older than everybody, and if I would have met these guys
You're
back
like
then,
father of the...
Nah, not really. I'm just me. Everybody mm-hmm. manages their own self. It just takes, it's called self-discipline, you know? Yeah. You just do your own thing, but when we play, we're a band, and that's that. You know, I just love playing music, and for everybody else, they want to do something else, but this is what I was born to do, so that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Your new material is pointing in a bit different direction. It's more technical, progressive in some ways, but you also left recognizable elements.
We just focused on what, you know, what we, because, you know, we all wrote music in Zafal, like, you know, on our past records. It's just more, you're hearing more of, like, what we wrote. Mm-hmm. You know, like I wrote a few songs on Xenosapien, and, you know, I was able to now kind of more knowing how to do that, was able to tap into that. And Nick, mm-hmm. the same thing with, you know, and Steve and Brian playing another band, so they kind of have a good mix and gelling to mm-hmm. what they play together. So, you know, at the end of the day, you just always want to persevere, and that's what we hope we did with Misled by Certainty. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't want it to be just a crazy record of, you know, just a bunch of riffs. We wanted it to be songs that just, you know, people that don't understand us now will say, well, they're not as crazy as they used to be, but for us, yeah. not being crazy, that's new for us, so for us, that's progressing.
It's evolution.
Exactly.
Because mm-hmm. if we were to wrote, I mean, I think if you were to come out with something like Conforming, or something that sounded like Conforming, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you would, I think that would be like your, okay, that's when they fell off, you know, because they have to go to something that they already know worked. Mm-hmm. They already tried it, you know what I mean? And like, I think it's cool to be
in, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's way more fun, and like, it's like kind of like being on the edge of stuff is just like, we let anything in, you mm-hmm. know, like writing wise. At the beginning, everything gets a shot. You know, you can bring anything down and stuff, and mm-hmm. you know, it's pretty cool to be able to have any type of genre riff or part, and not have to be like, oh, that's, you know, start with a, you know, good grindcore death metal song, and then we'll inject elements of this or that. It's mm-hmm. everything is what it is and built around it. I mean, some of the stuff is like these really cool songs get built out of a you know, small little jazz part or something. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And then people think that the jazz part is like, oh, then they threw this jazz part in. It's like, dude, it was built out of that, mm-hmm. you know? So it's it's cool to let everything or be on, everything. And
on Abraxas of Filth, Ross Dolan was on tour with Cannibal Corpse, mm-hmm. our Nile, and he came to Denver, and you know, we just had part of Abraxas of Filth written, just like a couple of riffs. So we had him sing on that, and then we wrote it backwards, kind of, you know, we wrote it from the chorus this way and then that way, you know, we wrote it from the middle. We've never been able to just like, and that was pretty cool. And you know, to have Alex from Christian do some other stuff, it was the same thing. We just had him come down the same day and just do some vocals that I'd written on the spot, and then you know, he nailed it, and for us we were just like, cool, now we can take this and build. And from that, we're learning a lot of how to do, you know, just make songs. So whether they're, you know, we know how to make them crazy. So we're going to add the new elements that we've learned to those songs to where you'll just see like, wow, they should have been doing this back then, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you got to have fun. So yeah, that's all we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, that's what you hear. Yeah.
I choose a song with a beautiful title, Dimensional Modulation Transmography. Cephalic Carnage.
Nice.
And this track was written by Nick, and you know, lyrics are just insanely intense, because I think you wrote it when you were camping in a tent or something. Right? Something
yeah,
to do with
it's
that.
Very in cars.
Okay.
In
cars. So listen to it.
Unveiling God's breath.
Pozdravljeni, spet smo nazaj, Cephalic Carnage. You were working again with your long time producer Dave Otero. I suppose that he's like a sixth member of the band. Is that right?
In a way he is, in a way he's not. He just kind of stumbles into our sessions and we just let him in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All he ever really does is just tell us what to do. We're there doing everything else.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're just joking. He's the like our sister. You know, if we had to have sister in the band, he would be the sister.
Mm-hmm. He's with you, I don't know, for this fifth time?
Yeah.
Fifth record.
He's awesome, man. He's really cool. He's a lot of fun to work with, and he's like on the level. He you know, if there's one person in the world that understands Cephalic Carnage, like 100% through and through, it's Dave Otero, for sure.
So your production is of the new record is actually the same as on your last two. Was your intention to sound like on previous?
Nah, we just want to keep it at that same recorded level where it's nice, loud, crisp, but still aggressive and raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not sounding too digital and too polished. So that's, we're happy with that.
Organic.
And, yeah, exactly.
Especially drums are sometimes in death metal music so plastic.
Yeah. But
triggered and just...
Triggers, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly what we didn't want. You know, John's very adamant about that, you know. I mean, you know, there's still like, you know, replacements and stuff and very few spots and stuff, but whenever possible, you know, John's always just like, get the clickiness. It can't sound like a typewriter, it's gonna sound like a kick drum, you know what I mean? And he plays hard. It's cool because he plays hard on stage. Like, he, you know, a lot of guys play double pedal, you know, like, especially with triggers, you can get away with, you know,
setting up your sensors,
lighter, super light sensors, and to have it so the kick beater only goes like that far, so it's, you know, like, John's fucking beating the fuck out of that. I mean, it's heavy, you know. He's a really awesome player. We're glad to have him.
Did he use a metronome on live, or just in the,
not live? Yeah, in the studio. Yeah, we've talked about using a metronome live just because you could do some cool stuff, like line up video, so that everything's perfectly, you know, and other like backing stuff, because there's a lot of cool backing stuff on the records. You know, the sax, for example, in this song, and other stuff that we could do it. You know what I mean? Like, we definitely would want to have it there. It's just like to be able to. If you don't have that click, then, you know, so we'll talk about it.
You already said something about your guests, but you always include some guest musicians. But on this Mistled by Certainty record, there is there are many guests, from Ross Dolan Immolation to Bruce from Yakuza. Mm-hmm.
We even had the guy from Nashville Pussy sing on there, do a scream. Ross was the only dude that, Ross and Max were, Eddie were the only dudes that, Alex, I mean, sorry, they were the only dudes that did actual vocal parts, and Bruce from Yakuza played sax and did some vocals, but everybody else we had on there just did screams or chants. They were not like, it was stuff that we knew we were going to have to sing, so we didn't want to sing like, you know, Jello Biafra or this guy or that guy or whoever we would have had. So we just kind of kept it to a small minimal, like mainly just those two. But, you know, we had Travis from Cattle come in and do a couple of chants and screams, and that was pretty much it. It was just like little accentuations, not total, like, come in here and try and make our record better, you know. We just thought it'd be cool for me to have Ross, because I'm a fan of his vocals, and
Ross,
you know, it's like having Barney Greenway sing on your album. You just, you know, you have a legend. I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah.
Did they join you in the studio, or they recorded their parts?
We had them come down to our spot.
It's usually like, a lot of times that's just how random chance will work to get people on there. It's like, it'll be friends that are touring, you know, and you're like, hey, we're in the writing process, come down. See what happens, you know. So it's cool to be able to, a lot of times we'll engineer the guest vocals ourselves too, instead of going over to Dave's, you know, like, we have everything at our place, so he doesn't have the time to do all that stuff all the time too, when you're gonna like, well, we gotta fit all this stuff in, you know. So we're like, all right, yeah, go down, we can record it ourselves, and it's pretty cool.
What about songs, where is sax in, how do you play this?
Bruce, live?
Yeah, do you have, I don't know.
Well, we haven't actually had, actually one time we played with Bruce, we played G.O.D., and then another time we just played without it, you know, which kind of sucks. That's what I was talking about, if we get a, you know, we have like a sampler, you know, then you can, but the problem with the sampler is that if you, you know, everybody has to be able to hear it, like, perfectly, unless you have it to a click, because if you have it to the click, then, you know, nobody has to pay attention to it, you know, especially John, because it's a set amount of time and exactly goes off perfectly in time with how everybody's playing. So, but yeah, it would be cool to have the ability to bring somebody out to do extra stuff, but yeah, right now
not. It will just be a guitar effect, you know. Like a solo where you can make it sound like a sax and just play it like that.
MIDI guitar or something would be cool.
So you play that song also live.
Oh, we're still trying to work our new songs in. We don't want to have to like go on a tour and just play our whole new album. Some people are like standing there for the most time
because
they really don't know it.
It's still fresh. It was released in the almost.
But we do have a super, super, super sick video for that song. And just finished.
Like, really?
Yeah, we're waiting to find out a place that'll be able to premiere it because it's can't put it on YouTube or MySpace or like it's like really gory, brutal, sexy, like
It's like a horror movie inside a video for a song.
It's the most brutal thing, dude. It's amazing and really, really high quality. This kid, this guy Michael Panduro, is not a kid, but it blew us all away. So that song, and when you have a video out, you think maybe play that song or
see right here, this what we're listening to right now, that this is something totally new for Cephalic, where you know we touched on it on our last album with Touched by an Angel, and we just wanted to progress more with you know a lot of this stuff, and then going to Grind right after. It's just amazing, you know. So two contrasts are completely different, and then you know just when you think, well, these dudes are turning into a heavy metal band, and we let you not forget that we're still a death metal band.
Yeah, it's not standard because that's totally changed.
That's what happens when you listen to Mr. Bungle. You know, you just learn to understand weird transitions because that's why we listen to him, for how to go into a riff and you know come out of a riff and go into a new one is the whole key to it all. Because you could have 50 riffs, but they all got to have somehow go into each other and become, you know, like a body that you're sewing with riffs, and it has to take, and the skin and everything has to fit, or else it just, like any transplant, the body refuses it and it just dies, you know. So it's kind of like that, making them everything fit into just one solid unit.
What about your view on the whole death metal or grindcore scene? We know that there is an enormous number of bands. Do you think this causes less or more originality?
I don't know. The bands that usually seem to be the most original are the least popular, so that's the way it works. But
if it keeps the
scene extreme, then that's all you can ask for, is to keep the scene extreme. Just, you know, but at some time, you know, you gotta meld other things into it as well to keep it alive and inspire new doors to be opened within that. Because if not, you'll just have one suffocation riff in your, or one dying fetus, you know, or necrophage, whoever it is.
Yeah.
You just pick your poison of what you love, what style. You want super brutal? You got that. You want ultra guttural? There's that. You want grind? There's that. You know, you want gore, porn grind, you got that. I mean, you got it's like going to the store and picking out any selection of your perversity in music.
So there's like Pillow Biter and like Beautician. There's a bunch of new, like, you know, glam grind is the new thing.
Glam grind?
Glam grind.
You look like Motley Crue and sound like Napalm Death, right? You know? That's with some high-pitched screams here and there. That's glam grind.
Glam grind. It's gonna be what hot, about man. Blues grind?
We have a blues song, and did you hear that?
No.
On the record?
Really?
It's only in Japanese track. But
Japanese always has extra songs, huh?
Yeah, it's
they,
called
They have to do it, man. They're special. They
can we download it?
I don't know where. I think, I don't know if you can get it from, oh yeah, the iTunes bonus thing. If you buy like the $11.99 iTunes thing, that one comes with that song and like full art and a bunch of stuff. But
That's total straight up blues. It's called the Grindcore Blast Beat Blues. I'm kind of bummed it's not on everybody's record experience because we wanted it to be, but we had to have a bonus track, you know? So it's like.
But we made it special to the people in Japan, though, like to the people that take us there when we go, you know, they're super cool people and they treat us amazing. So how could you not pay homage to people? You know?
It'll find its way out there. It's a little hidden gem. It's a killer, straight up 12 bar blues song about having the grindcore last beat blues.
See, speaking of death metal, not a lot of death metal bands have the courage to write a song like this right here because, you know, everybody's going to think you sold out. Imagine Suffocation doing Rapangia for a cover. or Dying Fetus.
You know. Yeah.
See those dudes all bummed out because they're playing slow. Somebody has, they have to come out and get somebody to play a sax. Carl from Niles trying to... It just wouldn't work, you know?
Okay.
But we obviously, you know, have different fans and different styles and, you know, that expect stuff like this. So we try to give the fans what they want while still satisfying ourselves.
Love that sax part.
This was the most challenging song of the whole record. I mean, it was just...
It was like four songs and five songs in one, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like almost like it's Hall's 1.5, you know? Like, so...
This is like the continuation of Halls of Amenti is, you know, pretty much this track right here and all what it means about pertaining to now, the future, the past of you know, what Earth might be when we're long gone.
Yeah. It's cool because we just went to the Slovenian, this castle or whatever, cable car. Mm-hmm. You know, we took that up and they have some fossils that they found, plant fossils or whatever they found that are like from... 250 million years ago or something like that, 300 million years ago, and some of that rock quarry, you know, and it's talking about that it's from the time of Pangaea, which is kind of like where we got the concept for the song, is that it's the supercontinent cycle. It's like a 300 million year cycle where the all the landmass of the earth like is all starts out as one and then breaks apart and then slowly comes back together, and it's done it like 7 or 8 times already. And so this is Re-Pangaea. Yeah, like happening again, and you know, because it's slowly happening. We're getting towards the end of, like, the 300 million years from since the last time it was all one continent. So,
okay, thank you, Lenny and Nick. I wish you a good show tonight.
Awesome.
Your headliners.
We co-headline, so tonight our night is to play right before Psychroptic. That means we get a party earlier with some of our fans. So come out, support us, because we'd support you if you were coming to Denver, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What was that dude's name? Andrzej Kopitar?
Andrzej Kopitar, yeah.
He's sick, man. So we love hockey in America, in Denver. But come out and support the Fall of Carnage tonight. It'd be a fun, fun time.
If you're chuffed enough.
If you're really chuffed.
If you're really, really chuffed.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Ljubljana.
Yeah!
Poslušalke in poslušalci, torej se pali Carnage danes v Gali Hali ob 7.30. Poleg njih nastopajo še Psychroptic, Ion Dissonance, Hour of Penance in Discarnate. Z vami smo bili Lenny in Nick iz Sepali Carnage, tehnik Željko in Gašper P. Pozdrav.
Cheers. We'll be right back.
Intervju Radija Študent.